Put your finger in Exodus 33. First of all, we'll go to Luke 24, but then we'll be going to Exodus 33. The name of the message is God's People Blessed in Christ. God's People Blessed in Christ. Do you ever get weary? Ever feel like you're assailed on all sides? Ever doubt? You ever think, Lord, you saved me? We all do. We all do. We'd be lying if we said we don't. I pray that if you're going through any of those situations, that tonight's message will be a comfort to you. That it'll comfort you. That it'll strengthen you. Because we are all we who believe, we're all on this pathway to heaven, aren't we? We're pilgrims. We're sojourning through this world. And sometimes we get tired. And sometimes we get weary. And we get assaulted from all sides, don't we? All sides. All sides. Exodus tonight, we'll be in the book of Exodus here. But before we go there, I'd like us to read a portion of Scripture in the New Testament. Now, you've heard me say this before. And you've heard me say that I used to believe this, and I no longer believe what I used to say when I used to say, well, the Old Testament was for the Jews, and the New Testament is for believers. The whole Bible is for us. The whole Bible. Now, dispensationalists, they love to say that, because that's the way they divide the Scriptures up. But it's error. I believe it's error. Because this book is all about Christ. It's all about Him. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to two of his followers, two of his elect, about himself from the Old Testament. Turn, if you would, to Luke 24. Luke 24. And I pray that our hearts will burn within us, just as it did for these two believers. That when we go to the Old Testament tonight and we look in Exodus Chapter 33, that we'd receive great comfort, that we'd be strengthened and built up in Christ, and that we could leave this place rejoicing in our mighty Savior, rejoicing in our Lord and King. Look at Luke 24, starting in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. See, he didn't reveal himself to them right away. He didn't reveal himself. Their eyes, Scripture says right here before us, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And our Lord has risen from the grave. And he's appearing to these two disciples. And he's risen from the grave. Look what it says. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now, beloved, he didn't ask that question for information. He already knew. He wants them to confess how they are and what they're feeling. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Again, it's not for information. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went out to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What he's saying here is, I'm in the Old Testament. The prophets speak of Christ. That's the Old Testament, beloved. Moses spoke of Christ. All the prophets, minor and major, spoke of Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And look at this. Now, I think I've confessed this before. I told Norm one time, I said, oh, Norm, oh, could you imagine being there? Because look at what he says here. Look what he says here. In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And I said to Brother Norm, oh, to be there, he goes, we already have it. He reveals himself from the scriptures. And now he reveals himself to us, doesn't he? When we read or when we hear the gospel preached and something we've never seen before, and we go, oh my goodness, I never saw that. And sometimes we've heard it. And then he just opens our eyes up to it. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He revealed himself. He revealed who he was to them. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Now turn, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And we'll look at a portion of scripture over here. Exodus 33, verses 11 to 19. And we'll just go through these verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Exodus 33, starting in verse 11. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here
that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, beloved of God, the four blessings bestowed by Christ to Moses in the present text are identical to those he bestows to believers today. To believers today. Let's look at these four blessings which are found in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. They're found nowhere else. Now, we looked at this first one a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Look at this, Exodus 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. So the first blessing bestowed by Christ to Moses in the text is identical to those he bestows on believers today. You have found grace in my sight. We looked at that this morning in Sunday school, didn't we? That the only difference between us and anyone else is that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the only difference. There's no other difference. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What a wonderful text we have before us. God's grace is His unmerited favor to sinners who otherwise only merit His wrath and only merit His justice being poured out upon us. That's what we merit. That's what we deserve. But God shows us mercy. And He pours out that wrath and justice upon His Son in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? So we know we're all guilty. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the blessing, this blessing spoken of here, is bestowed sovereignly. Look at Exodus 33:19. This is a sovereign God saying this. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. He can sovereignly show mercy and give grace to whomever He pleases. That's His prerogative. He's God. He's God. He can do whatever He pleases to do. And even if man shakes his fist and say, that's not fair, we don't want fair. I don't want, do you want fair? We who believe, do you want fair? I don't want fair. I don't want fair at all. I want mercy. I want grace. Fair would be me going to hell for my sins. I want mercy. I'm a mercy beggar. Are you? Oh, I beg for mercy. And God has shown me mercy in Christ. In Christ. Remember the proud Pharisee? I thank you that I don't do this and I don't do, and that I'm not like that publican. And here we are, God's elect. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We cry and beg for mercy, don't we? My. For He saith to Moses, look in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9. And I'll read Exodus 19 again, 33:19. And He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom I'll show mercy. And then look at Romans chapter 9. He shows grace to some, while at the same time dealing wrath with others. Look at Romans 9, verses 15 to 18. For He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That verse right there destroys free willism. That verse absolutely destroys the free will of man. Look, so then it's not him that willeth. You can't will your way into heaven. And if you think you can, you're going to be like the guy who shows up to the wedding feast with no garment. Clothed in your own self-righteousness. So it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he hath mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. I praise God he didn't leave me where I was. Oh, I'm so thankful that I've been showing mercy. And all who flee to Christ are showing mercy. Yeah, and only we know that the Lord will make his people willing and they'll flee to Christ. He's the only refuge for sinners. He's the only refuge. And we know from this morning when we looked that Noah, the only difference between Noah and anyone else, the scripture said, is Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the only difference between Noah and anyone else. And this blessing reoccurs throughout the life of the saint. Notice in Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And we know that Lot, righteous Lot, he dwelt in Sodom, didn't he? But he was afterward delivered from destruction. The city was destroyed, but he was delivered. And it says, righteous Lot was vexed. My, what's the only reason Lot was righteous? Christ. Only Christ and him alone. How can I stand before you and tell you that I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Only because he's put that righteousness on me? Nothing I did. I was running. I wasn't looking for God. And I know it's so for all you too who believe. I know. We weren't looking. He sought us out. He came and got us. And he saved us by his pure, free, and sovereign grace in Christ. And now we just rejoice. We marvel. As I said this morning, we marvel that we've found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's incredible. Likewise, believers have found grace in the eyes of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31. We are told in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 to 6, which has its greater fulfillment in the church of Christ, we are told some things in these verses. Look at this. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 to 6. And keep in mind that the Lord shows mercy to whomever he's pleased to show mercy. And he shows it to undeserving sinners. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Well, that's speaking of the church. We'll be his people. We are his people. And he will gather every one of his sheep. And he uses the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit takes that and goes forth and makes it effectual and regenerates the dead sinner. And they flee to Christ. And there are people who'd never called on him. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now look at that. Yea, and let each of us who are believers, let this sink in. Yea, God says to us, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, why did we come to Christ? With loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see who's doing all the work? Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. So those who found grace in God's sight while in the wilderness, verse 2, are told that they were loved with an eternal love, verse 3, and therefore drawn to God, drawn to God Himself, and we know it's by the Holy Spirit with loving kindness, and they were made to prosper, verses 4 to 6. They who found grace in God's sight while in the wilderness were all saved. They're His people. Look at verse 1. And they shall be my people. Beloved, we were all in the wilderness of sin. That's where we were. We were lost in the wilderness of sin. In the sea of sinfulness. Drowning. And only He could rescue us. Only He could. And He did. He rescues His people. That's what Savior means. He's a rescuer. And He has saved us from our sins. And the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who is trusting in the Savior, who is His substitute, has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is marvelous, free, and sovereign grace. That's what it is. The second blessing bestowed by Christ to Moses in the text, which is identical to those He bestows to believers today, is this. Look at verses 12 and 17. 12 and 17. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. And then look at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Christ knows every one of His sheep, beloved. How long has He known us? From eternity. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. You see how, like I said, if we're struggling, if we're having a hard time, how much this can just lift our souls? God has known my name from eternity. I can't even fathom that. I'll be honest with you, it just makes me just, it's incredible. But that's the truth. That's what Scripture declares. He knows us by name. Christ, by virtue of His deity, is all-knowing. That's how He knows us. He's God. He's not like us. We forget people all the time, don't we? We forget their names. I know I do. I forget people's names. And I have a hard time sometimes. I remember faces, but I forget names and different. But God will never forget one of His sheep. Never. Never. He knows us by name. He knows all things and persons. It is therefore not a surprise that he should know Moses. He knows Moses' name at the burning bush. And Moses didn't tell him who he was. In Exodus 3:4 it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses." He knew his name. And he said, "Here am I." Now, think of this. Scripture declares that we are engraved in the palms of his hands. So he's known us from eternity and we're ever before him, his people. He knows every one of his sheep. Every one of them. This brings the believer great comfort. Great comfort. Furthermore, though, he knew Moses in a special manner, not as a mere acquaintance, but as one whom he spoke face to face. Look at our text in Isaiah 33:11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So just as Christ knew Moses personally, knew him by name, he knows his people. He knows his sheep. It's not by chance we're saved. We know that. Not at all. It's all according to the purpose of God. And his decree, we saw this morning what he says, what? Shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. I had no clue I was God, one of God's sheep. When I was born into this world, and I know you didn't either. But he knew us. He knew us. And he watched over us, even when we were in rebellion. And he loved me with an everlasting love. Even when I was in that state. And it's so with you if you're a believer. This is wonderful grace. He knows them by name because they belong to him. He knows every one of his sheep by name because they belong to him. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. And I'll read Isaiah 43:1. Isaiah 43:1 says this, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Mine. The Lord's sheep are his. Look at John chapter 10, verse 3 and then verses 14 and 15. Look at verse 3. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." They say that if you put two or three flocks together in a pen, that each shepherd can go there. Each shepherd can go there and call his sheep, and only his sheep will follow his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We follow the shepherd's voice through the preaching of the word, through the preaching of the gospel, through reading the scriptures. Look at verse 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep." He knows us before we know him, "and am known of mine." He reveals himself to us, beloved. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for" who? For everyone? That's not what the scriptures say. Amen, brother. "I lay down my life for the sheep." He laid down his life for his people. The very ones in Isaiah 43:1, which says again, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and he does that by his Holy Spirit, doesn't he? Thou art mine. Oh, what security the believer has in Christ. He laid down his life at Calvary's cross for every one of his sheep. He is the sinner's substitute, bearing the wrath and justice of God that we deserved in redeeming, purchasing us by his own precious blood. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins with no hope. But God is rich in mercy, isn't he? He's rich in mercy towards his people, and he knows every one of them by name. And he calls us by his effectual grace, and we flee to Christ. We flee to Christ. And we have found mercy. Mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we say, flee to the Savior. Oh, that God would make you willing to flee to him. He's the only hope for poor, bankrupt sinners like us. Oh, Christ has known his people by name from eternity. And their names were inscribed in his book of life in eternity. In eternity. I remember when I was in religion and I used to hand out these tracts, and boy, now I just shake my head at them now. Just, what did I do? But in the tract it said, now that you believe, your name's written in the book of life. That's a lie. The believer's name is written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. Because if it was the other way around, what that tract said, then their name is written in the book of life because they're doing. Because they made a decision. Oh my. Lies, lies, lies. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 13:8. Revelation 13:8. If anybody ever tells you that, take them here. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ knows his people, and he knows them from before the foundation of the world. Now that's something for us to marvel. Now, that's something for us to ponder, too. If our names are written in the Lamb's book of life from eternity, then anyone who says they're saved by their works, they're lying. Because that's God's choosing. That's God's doing. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 7:21. There are some who are religious, whose names are not written in the book of life. Although, when you talk to them, they say, well, I'm a Christian, and I've done all these marvelous things for the Lord. And I'll tell you, I've met many religious folks who will love to tell you what they've done, what they're either doing or what they've done for Christ. And it's heartbreaking when you talk to them. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Because I'm always reminded of these verses here. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So these are religious professors. These are people who are professing belief in Christ. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many, not just a little amount, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? So what are they doing? They're saying, Lord, we've done all these things for you. What do we say? What do each man who gets up in here to teach, Brother John, Brother Matt, Brother Tim, what do we preach? What do we teach? That Christ did it all. It's not based upon what we've done. It's based upon what Christ has done. And that's the same message that Brother Jim preaches, that Brother Tim preaches, that Brother Gary preaches, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But these folks in the text, they're saying, but Lord, we did all these things. We did all these things. I remember reading Brother Henry saying, we will not know this side of eternity the damage that Arminianism, free will, religion has done. We will not know. People making false professions and preachers saying, well, now you're on your way to heaven. When they made him twofold the child of hell. This is why we must preach the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. That Christ is all. That it's Christ crucified. It's all what he's done. That we're clothed in his perfect righteousness. That only he can satisfy the justice and law of God. This is why we must trumpet it every time. Look what it says here in Matthew 7:23, a chilling verse. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. And the new there, I think I've mentioned this before, is the word gnoska in the Greek. It's an intimate knowledge. He knows them, of course, because he created them. But he doesn't know them intimately. They're not his people. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He doesn't gnoska them. But he gnoskas his people. He knows his people. And he knows us by name. He knows us intimately. Intimately. The third blessing bestowed by Christ to Moses in the text, which is identical to those he bestows upon believers today, is my presence will go with you. Look at Exodus 33:14. Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Our Lord is all-knowing. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's identified as him who fills all in all. Here he refers to his special presence as the angel of Jehovah's presence, who had already in love and pity saved and redeemed Moses at the Red Sea and would bear and carry him all the rest of his life. In Isaiah 63:9, it says this, in their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the ways of old. It was Christ who took them all through the wilderness. It was Christ who was with them all the time. His presence never left them. And this special presence of Christ distinguished Moses and Israel from all the other nations around them. Look at Exodus 33:15-17. Just as it distinguishes us. Look at Exodus 33:15-17. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Who made them to differ? God, Christ. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Likewise, the presence of Christ goes with believers every day. This is the fulfillment of his promise just prior to his resurrection. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord never leaves his people. Now, there may be some dark days for us, eh? And we do. We go through times. We go through times when sometimes we feel closer to the Lord than other times. Let's be honest, because there is that time. We do. We all go through that. But he never leaves us. He's ever present with us. ever-present. That's comforting for God's people. Because no matter what we go through, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise to his people. And again, remember in the Greek with that word never? Never, not ever, never. It's in the triple negative. The fact that he will never, ever leave his people. Ever. Turn, if you would, to John 14. Christ is in heaven presently, but his special presence is nevertheless with his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14, verses 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. And I know what that's like. There was a time when I had no clue about the Lord. I'm still just learning. But I remember groping around in the darkness like that. Now I can look back and see. At the time, I had no clue. But now I just marvel. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. You, believer, know him. He's been revealed to you. He lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That's a wonderful verse. I will come to you. Remember, the sheep never, ever seeks the shepherd. This is the Master. This is the God-man mediator. This is God incarnate in the flesh saying to his people, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Why does he have to come to us? Because none of us would seek him. He must come to us. Acts 18 says this, 18:10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Paul was told to go and preach in the city. And before he even spoke a word to them, the Lord said, I have much people in the city. Who are those much people? Those are his sheep. Paul didn't have a clue who they were, but he was told to go and preach Christ. To go and preach Christ, and that he did. He went and preached Christ, and the Lord drew in his sheep as he was pleased. Acts 23:11 says this, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with Paul in his bonds and in his chains. That gives us great comfort no matter what comes our way, right? The Lord is with his people. The same angel of Jehovah's presence who led Moses in the old covenant times does the same for his saints in the new covenant times as their shepherd. As their shepherd. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, I often heard this psalm read as an unbeliever. But now as a believer, I know what it means. I didn't then. It sounded very poetic then, very nice. Now it's so precious. So precious. The Lord, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to do that. I was a lost sheep before, running wild. He's made me to lie down in green pastures. Is it so with you? He makes us to lie down in the green pastures of His word, feasting on the clover of His word. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of His word. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He was with me in my birth. He is with me in my conception. He is with me in my birth. And He'll be with me in my death. And think, though, of this valley of the shadow of death is now. We live in the land of, Brother Donnie said, we live in the land of the dead. And we're going to the land of the living. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Remember, we looked at His presence. He's always with us. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A gospel feast that we feast upon. Oh, and He prepares it right in the midst of our enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. I remember one preacher saying this, the two sheepdogs of God, goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. And David saying this, not based upon any confidence in himself, but based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. That God is his shepherd. The fourth blessing bestowed by Christ to Moses in the text, which is identical to that which He bestows on believers today, is in verse 14, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This was not physical rest which Christ promised Israel would find in Canaan. Moses did not enter into that rest. Rather, this rest is part of the reward Moses received through forsaking the world and coming to Christ and Him alone. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Christ is our exceeding reward, beloved. And our rest is in Him. We know that. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And He gives us rest for our souls, doesn't He? Rest from our labors. And rest for our souls. But it's only in Christ. It's nowhere else. I can find no rest in myself. I didn't know what peace was until the Lord saved me. And now I know. While Paul talks about the peace that passes all understanding, I know now. I've experienced it. It's incredible. And look at Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now there's some who say that he could have been Pharaoh. Some commentators say that. He forsook it all. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Likewise believers today receive the same rest. An eternal rest. An eternal rest, which is only in Christ. Only in Christ and Him alone. Again, Christ exhorts us, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He does, doesn't He? And it's marvelous. Rest for your souls. And this is the rest of peace and tranquility in the soul. the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. Knowing that it's not based upon me, but that it's based upon Christ and Him alone. He's my assurance. Now, I may doubt sometimes, right? We all do sometimes. Let's be honest. But my hope and my rest is not based upon my works or not based upon me. It's wholly in Christ and Him alone. He's my hope. Vicki and I were talking this week, and sometimes when we examine ourselves and when we think how holy and how righteous God is, I tremble sometimes, beloved. But I know that I'm safe in Christ. And He has paid all that God demanded for my sins. So my assurance is not in me. My hope is not in me. It's in Christ alone. And this is why we say, again, we say flee to Christ, because He's the only hope for sinners. Left to ourselves, we're perishing our sins. But oh, what hope we have in Christ. What assurance of salvation we have in Christ. We have justification through the righteousness of Christ. The fact that my sins were placed upon Him, and that He satisfied God's justice for my sin, and that He really did do that. Oh, that's such comfort for the believer. Such comfort. So when doubts do come, or when we're assailed by different things, we can just look to Christ, right? Just look to Him. And Him alone. And be thankful and praise God that my salvation is not based upon me. It's not based upon anything I do. And I'm telling you, I preach to myself, look to Christ. Look to Christ. When something arises up, look to Christ. I got to keep my eyes on the Lord. Because if I get my eyes on the circumstance, then I must confess. Then I become a mess. But I'm constantly reminded through study and constantly reminded through reading the Scriptures to keep your eyes on Christ, Wayne. He's your hope. He's your assurance. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. And it's marvelous. It's marvelous. Wonderful salvation. Moses of old and believers too have received all these blessings in and through Christ alone. All these blessings we've looked at are only in Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Oh my. Will you receive them? I pray the Lord make you willing. I pray He would make you willing and that you trust Christ and Him alone, for He is the end of the law for righteousness for those who believe. For those who believe. And what does the believer say? Praise His mighty name. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that our salvation, we who believe that our salvation is not dependent upon anything we do, and that it is wholly dependent upon Thee and You alone in what You did at Calvary's cross. And oh, may we marvel that You left the glories of heaven, that You left and You redeemed. As we looked at this morning, You redeemed Your people. Christ hath redeemed, Scripture declares. You have done it, Your people, from their sins. Oh, may we think upon these blessings today, or this week, as we go through this week that we looked at tonight, may we think upon them. May we ponder them. And may they be a blessing to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.